Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
Living on lockdown 2021. How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine.
The simple vows of Earl means hope. Embodied within that hope is the fundamental belief in the potential of every person to be a force for good.
Clark.
That's what you can bring them.
You were sent here for a reason.
You will give the people of Earth an ideal to strive towards.
And even if it takes you the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is.
They will stumble. They will fall.
You're going to have to make a choice.
They will join you in the sun down.
Choice of whether to stand proud in front of the human race or not.
You will help them accomplish wonders. All the hopes and dreams of Krypton live in you now.
I'm so proud of you, son.
Your mother and I loved you.
Your mother and I knew you would change the world.
Your heart was tested.
I know it's been hard, Clark.
But you gave hope to their world.
You need to show them who you are.
Love them, Cal. The way we loved you. Fly, son. It's time.
All right. Well, a new dawn has risen. The sunlight is breaking on a new... I almost feel like I have not even seen this movie before. That's how already I'm going to start walking into this just completely, like, with my jaw on the floor. Here we are. Finally, it's Snyder Cut Day. You've heard our prologue, and now it's time for us to react to the real deal. We've waited for 2.5 years. This has been in the sort of rumored making, and it has finally arrived. And Hollow Nine is here to guide you through reacting to what we just saw. I'm Dave the Clone. You may notice us, remember me from all the other Living on Lockdown episodes that we've been doing over here. And I've got a couple guys joining me that you might recognize from the prologue. We've got from Live Action Media, Mr. Chris Stiles.
What up, guys?
And rocking and rolling with Rick Barth in the line, we got Mr. Mickey Torres. How you doing?
Hey there.
And so it is now no longer a fabled thing of myth. This is real, the 4-hour mega cut of Zack Snyder's Justice League. I don't know, this one's a hard one to even figure out where to start, but in general, I just want to say I was blown away. I loved it. I thought this was awesome, and the 4 hours did not seem like 4 hours at all. I kept pausing it to be like, how much is left in this? And thinking there was going to be so much more left, and it was, I was like, damn, dude, we're flying through this thing. What did you guys, what are your first impressions? You guys want to just go around the table and kind of do that, like the hot take of what the first impressions were like.
Mickey, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, sure. No, I agree. I was totally blown away by this. And the 4 hours, it did not seem like 4 hours. Like, I was watching it, and I'm just going, like, then I get close to the end, and I'm just like, how much more time? But I'm like, this just went quick. And I am thoroughly, thoroughly happy, satisfied, and way surprised at how good this actually was. I was a huge, huge proponent of we don't need this.
Yeah. I feel like when I was listening back to the last episode, that was like the first comment. You're like, I'm really not on board, dudes. And I was like, oh, wow, here we go. This is going to be a long journey, man. 4 hours of us talking about 4 hours of them doing something we didn't necessarily think needed to happen.
Yeah, but I take that back.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of want to piggyback on a little bit of what both you guys are saying. Dave, you framed it in a great way, saying that I feel like I saw a whole new movie. I've never seen that movie before.
Yeah.
I really felt like that a lot as well. Now, Mickey, I was not a proponent of we don't need this. I was like, hell yeah, we need this, just to like give people something to talk about. Because like, honestly, Justice League, the Whedon cut, like being a critical and commercial flop, was the biggest film story of like maybe the decade. Because fucking 4 years later and they were still talking about it. 3 years later, they were still talking about it. So it's remarkable that Warner's kind of had most of this already, you know, and decided to turn it into what they turned it into three, four years ago. Now, as I keep saying, whenever I've talked about the Snyder Cut since seeing it yesterday, it's impossible to discern what Zack would have given us 3 years ago or 4 years ago, because it's a four-hour movie. He said he took it down to three and then was going to take it down to 2.5, and then they all couldn't really compromise from there. So even still, like, I could kind of squint my eyes and see what might have happened, where they might have made cuts and where they might have done this, but I love it. I thought it was like a Godfather 2 of superhero movies, you know, in a sense. Or at least it tried to be.
Yeah.
You know?
It definitely makes me feel like Whedon's a little bit of a fraud now, you know what I mean? Like, in the aftermath, going like, well, wait a minute. So he had all this shit to play with, too, and what we saw was what he gave us? I don't know, man. Suddenly I'm kind of like, maybe he fucked this one on purpose, you know? Marvel.
You know, I got to say, I was never a Whedon fanboy. And I feel kind of vindicated on that as to, like, all the shit that's come out about him recently and him, like, not being such a great dude and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like, all right, you know what? Now I don't feel like an asshole because I didn't like Firefly. And, like, I love the Buffy movie, but I never really watched the show. And I know, like, it has legions of fans and stuff. But I don't know.
I'll be the one to say, like, I have always been a huge Whedon fan. I mean, like, as far back, I mean, obviously Buffy the Vampire Slayer was the best for me. I followed Firefly, I loved it. Serenity, I loved that. I loved Dollhouse that he did with Eliza Dushku. So I was always a Whedon fan, and obviously, I mean, we cannot talk about Whedon without saying how great Avengers was. I mean,
right.
That was awesome. I mean, Age of Ultron, not so much. But I feel like that's what we got. Like, I've been calling this Justice Age of Ultron League, because his version was like that. And it's like, it's so bad. And I honestly, like, I almost feel like it's almost like when you see a hero, and especially with the allegations and everything else like that, when you idolize somebody and he's, you know, that person's your hero, and then you see them fall from grace, or you see them like in a different light, that it changes everything. This is watching Justice League, the Snyder Cut, was essentially that for me. I was essentially like, maybe he's not that good.
For Whedon, like, you mean that's what you thought about Whedon? Yeah.
That's what I thought about Whedon. Like, maybe...
Let's not forget, he's the same guy who wrote Alien Resurrection, you know?
I forgot all about that. Like, really, like, I'm a low-key Aliens fan. I'm not a huge fan. I like Aliens, so don't come at me.
I dig Aliens a lot.
But I'm just saying, don't come at me. I do like Aliens, but I'm just not a hardcore fan. So, like, I don't even think about that. But I do think about in the trajectory of his career of, you know, Buffy and the Avengers being the ultimate, and then Age of Ultron, and then Justice League being the worst of it.
There's also something
pretty fair.
Yeah, for sure, and it is funny because when I was thinking about Whedon during this, I wasn't thinking about the Firefly and Serenity so much, and definitely, I mean, it's not like I don't know, but I was not thinking about Alien Resurrection either. I was really kind of, my lens was skewed strictly from the comic book movies perspective, and, you know, I guess I didn't realize it until I saw a lot of people posting on Facebook today about how he is the only other one now besides J.J. Abrams to be able to, you know, be a master of two houses with these franchises, right? You know, like, starts on one side of the playing field, does the Avengers, DC's trying to catch up. You know, obviously, at the time, Zack Snyder had the family crisis, family emergency, family tragedy, and got pulled away. So what did Warner Brothers do? They bring in the guy who just did Avengers. And it's sort of like, is it possible to do your best when you're working for two properties that are, like, diametrically opposed to each other? Can you do both of them well if you're already getting all this praise for doing one of them first? You know what I mean?
I think James Gunn's going to prove that, yes, you can.
Yeah,
he'll be the third one. Suicide Squad comes out, because I think he's going to take another doghouse property and turn it into a fucking A-list hit. That's what that guy does. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
So brilliant people do the impossible, you know, and non-brilliant people are the ones telling him, you can't do that. It's impossible. That's the way I feel about that.
I mean, a lot of the time, usually when I'm watching an extended or a director's cut or a special edition of something, my radar is really finely tuned to pick up the new stuff. Like, okay, new footage. That wasn't in the old one. And what I found myself doing with this one more is looking for, wait, so what was in that shitty other one that they left out of this one? You know what I mean? And, like, things were different right from the beginning. You know, early on, things are very, very different. Like, the whole tone got shifted in the first 10 minutes of this movie compared to what the theatrical cut was. And I don't know. We could jump around and talk about all those types of differences, but it just grabs you right away that I stopped looking and I just liked to enjoy this, you know?
Just the actual, like, the colors of this movie compared to what we got in the original theatrical release. I mean, it was night and day. I mean, the theatrical release was very, like, kind of comic book, like, pop colors, bright and everything else like that. And this was, like, typical Zack Snyder, kind of, like, faded, kind of, like, dark-ish colors, not as bright.
Yeah, I think Whedon tried to colorize it too much. You know what I mean? Like, that was, I feel like the dark worked way better this way, you know, in this version.
Yeah, it was shot with that look intended by a very talented cinematographer, Fabian Wagner or whatever. But, you know, there's so many things that, like, I can get why the studio would hate this version of a movie. I totally get it, you know? They want it to be 90 minutes so it can have more screenings a day. And, you know, they don't want it to really challenge, you know, anything. You know, they really want it to be something that's already happened. And just, they won't give me Avengers, you know? And there are flaws that are baked into that plan, you know, that make this, you know, a difficult angle to come into, shall we say. Like, the fact that you haven't had an Aquaman movie, you haven't had a Cyborg movie, you haven't had a Flash movie, have had, you know, you haven't had a solo Batman movie.
Yeah, you haven't had a Batman movie.
Not with Affleck, at least.
Yeah, and you've only really had a Wonder Woman movie Superman movies.
Yeah.
You know? So, if... you know, it didn't have to set everyone up like that. It could have been more of a streamlined 90-minute movie, and Zach could have done one of those, and it may have been great if that was the plan. But he had to do all this shit, and he delivered pretty fucking well considering how much shit he had to do. He made this brilliantly bloated. It's messy. It's not perfect, but it's... I don't know. I just loved it.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's not super messy. You know what I mean? Like, it's messy.
No, not super messy.
Messy in terms of, like, do you prefer regular Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, or do you want the extended version that has another 45 minutes that, in all honesty, is fluff? It's like eye candy. It's cool if you're really into the story. But the 3.5-hour version does do a really great job of telling that story. Well, this is sort of like showing how there was no way at that stage in the game to make this move in a 90-minute movie. There's just no way. And so the only way to do that is to do a Lord of the Rings style. All right, we're doing it. This is Fellowship. Everybody's going to learn everything about everybody. And by the end of this one, you're going to be pissed that we're dropping off right as they're heading into a battle at the end of the movie. And all right, well, they weren't heading into a battle, but they definitely set up that there should be more shit on the way, you know, and now I want it as opposed to I cannot stick around at this club anymore, guys. Everybody I came with left. There's nothing good to drink here. Everything looks like shit. We got to get out of here. Now I'm like, dudes, get that DJ back up there. Let's go.
I feel like, you know, if if Warner Brothers, you know, had taken a look at this and said, like, you know what, we can't release something that's 4 hours long. So you're going to have to, you know, do something about that. I still feel that, you know, Snyder could have cut this to even a 2.5-3 hours. And it would have hit harder and it would have been a way better movie than what we, you know, what we got.
Yeah. Apparently he did cut it down to 3 hours, and then...
Oh, totally. I mean, if you cut the epilogue alone, there's your 3 hours.
The whole last chapter of the friggin' thing.
Yeah.
But it's so funny how the studio, you could tell what their notes were. Like, right out of the gate, I noticed, like, man, I'm an hour plus into the movie, and I haven't seen Superman yet.
Yeah,
right away, that was a note, because the other one opens, and the first thing you see is shitty CGI mustache Superman on a cell phone video. Yeah.
And you know what?
Like,
that scene wasn't
the dumbest
even
way to open any movie.
And it didn't even come back. You know, I kind of dug the meta. I liked that it was, like, a bunch of kids interviewing him for their YouTube channel, you know? But I kind of expected that to pop up somewhere. That's one of the ones that they left out, right? That you're like, oh, wow, you know?
I think that was clearly a shot by Whedon scene.
Yeah. After the fact.
Because he's like, well, my shit's not going to compare to Zack Snyder, so I might as well shoot it on a fucking cell phone.
is that what?
That's a real cinematic way to open the greatest team up ever.
Very
well,
Lucas-y.
You know, a thing also that I said about this, or I thought about this, and I'm like, you know, think what you want about Whedon and everything else like that. But the reality of it is Whedon has never really done anything that he wasn't kind of inventing or creating himself. And this was the first time that he stepped into something, or at least that I remember, that he stepped into something that was already basically done, and he had to put his stamp on it. Everything else that he's done was creating, even Avengers, that was not done before. He created that. You know, Age of Ultron, while it sucked, it still was him creating that. With Justice League, it was basically done. Like, it was just, listen, this is it. This is what we're doing. This is what we want to do. And it was then him trying to, like make it his creation. Like, let's forget about Snyder. And this is a Whedon project.
Yeah, let's bring the goofy shit that we did in the Avengers over to here. Let's have Aquaman sit on the lasso of truth and start talking about how he's actually fucking scared out of his mind and doesn't think that they're going to win. And you're going, what the fuck is happening here? Like, you know, it even doesn't dawn on us until, oh, he's sitting on the fucking lasso. You know, like, and I was so happy that I forgot to keep looking for if those were going to come up because I was more concerned with, all right, when the fuck are we going to see this Jared Leto Joker? And when are we going to hear that we live in a society and all these other lines? That there's still stuff that was in the trailer for this that wasn't in this cut. You know what I mean? So there's still stuff that didn't make the Snyder cut, the 4-hour expanded cut.
That's the Blu-ray. That's the Blu-ray version.
I don't think it'll ever come out on Blu-ray because then HBO Max loses an incentive to subscribe. They want to be the exclusive home of the Snyder Cut. Now,
but remember that the HBO Max is Warner Brothers, essentially.
I was gonna say, it's all Warner Brothers,
So Warner Brothers will win anyway. So even if they release like a 10-hour Blu-ray of, Justice League Snyder Cut, they're still winning because there are, I will buy it. There are a lot of people after watching this. Yeah, there are a lot of people after watching this that now want more. I can't talk enough about how good this was and how much now I want more.
Yeah.
And how how much this sucks because, the whole franchise, the whole DC movie line, whatever that is, fucked because it was fucked to begin with, but now it's even really fucked, royally fucked, because a lot of this stuff that he put in this movie was to set up for Justice League 2, Justice League 3, and even like Flash movie and everything else like that, and we might not see it.
I think they might, though. I think now you're going to get
think
a big.
We will. Zach says, I'm sorry to cut you off, Dave. I think that Zach has said 100% Warner's is moving on. This is the last DC film I'll ever make. They don't want me back. They're moving in a different direction, So
it might change with the response to this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This whole thing is unprecedented. The fact that they even did this. There's a lot, we are coming down pretty hard on the wow, flashy new, this is fucking awesome, what were we thinking? But there was another guy who went back and redid his movies after over a decade, right? Maybe in some cases. And it was what we would refer to in the literary world as gilding the lily. And, arguably people who grew up with the original Star Wars trilogy, when they went and saw those special editions, they were like, what the fuck is this? I mean, at least I was anyway. And so there have not been a lot of precedents set for people going back and getting a second pass at their project that may have landed differently or than they expected. And so, you're given 2.5 years to come back and think on all the things that everybody has hated on it and complained about. Now, granted, all this stuff, quote unquote, existed and was shot at the time. It's such a unique situation. It's hard to feel like it's completely fair to just be like, man, what the fuck? This was awesome all the time. Maybe he needed to get away from the business for a year or two because of what was going on. Maybe he wouldn't have been able to make the movie because of what was going on in his life, regardless of the tragedy. There's so many factors at play here. It's really hard to make a lot of predictions, I think, because we're in a new era where things keep changing so much and the unexpected keeps happening.
It could be, but here's what I would like to know. And I'm not really I really wasn't reading spoilers, wasn't reading a lot about this or anything like that. Cause I didn't want to do that. I wanted to just watch the movie and be surprised. I'm still old school that way where it's like, I just want to watch the movie and be surprised. I don't want spoilers and this and that or teasers or whatever. I just want to watch it and, get that instant reaction. But my whole thing is and even with a Blu-ray release of this, it's how much of this was recut and how much of this was already there? And that will be the telltale tale of how good this movie was on its own from original conception. I understand, we get some time to walk away from it and rethink some of the things that fans already said didn't work in the Whedon version and everything else like that. And you just kind of subconsciously and deliberately say I'm going to kind of correct that. And I didn't do it originally the first time, but now I'm going to make an emphasis to do it now. So you have that, but the like, I just want to know how much of this was extra scenes and reshot footage and what was done. But I have a strong feeling that I will say 90% of this was what it was originally intended and filmed as being. The story was
higher than
the
that.
Story was
I'd
the
say,
story.
I'd say 95, maybe even 98, 99. I really think the only thing that was reshot was the future dream sequence.
Yeah, the Batman at the end. It. Yeah,
the epilogue. I'm pretty sure the epilogue, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. I know the Marvin the Martian Manhunter one was a reshoot. That was those things were reshot.
The ending or the middle the
both.
Which I wanted to get your guys' both. Take on what that. So does that mean that the guy, the military dude, was always Martian Manhunter, or was Martian Manhunter? Yes. So even in Man of Steel, he was Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Holy shit. And then, but then why also then was he taking the form of Martha Kent to go visit Lois?
Because the thing was, is that like, at least the story point was that Martian Manhunter knew that Lois was the key.
Oh, right. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Cause I was like Lois is around. We don't need a fake Lois. So
yeah,
I was just
in
like,
the Whedon version.
Didn't...
In the Whedon version, like, he just basically said, like, oh, fuck Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
Like, Batman's going to say that Lois is the key, and he's the one that's going to bring her out there.
Right. Now, again, this is all so bittersweet for me that the movie was as good as it is, because I really want to see what was teased at the end of that. You know, I really want to see that movie. That's basically Injustice.
Yeah.
I want to fucking see that.
That's the setup. That was the setup. Yeah. Justice League 2 and 3.
Yeah, well, and he not only did he want to do Injustice in Justice League 2, but I think he also wanted to do the death of Batman in Justice League 3.
Yeah,
and
like, yeah.
Again, that's not the way I would build like a universe like as big as Marvel and as vast and all that shit. But like,
it is a way to do it, though. Yeah, it definitely.
It's a choice. It's an artistic choice that I felt very strongly about.
This is even elevating how I felt about Batman versus Superman. Now, you know, like for as much as I hated. A lot, you know, the way this opened, where we have this kind of slow motion, different perspectives of the moment heard around the world, literally heard around the world, right? The death cry of Superman is the thing that sets off the entire plot of this movie. That's fucking genius, all right? Like we were talking about in our prologue episode about how, you know, the idea of the way that this franchise unfolded, it makes sense you started out with a Superman movie, then it doesn't make sense that Batman wants to kill him, and it definitely doesn't make sense that you go from that to somehow forming the Justice League. But this somehow made it make more sense. And I feel like as much as I feel like they could get away with, since no one ever called it Doomsday on camera, that if this was the way they brought Superman back, they already wound up doing the death of Superman, you could make Doomsday a much bigger bad for like a phase two kind of thing. If you were really going to try to get your, you know, shared cinematic universe to the size and scope of Marvel, you know, you would still leave things like Doomsday out there for you to do the right way. And then you could have the rise of the four Superman after that if you wanted. But I don't know why I'll never let go of that. And I that is one thing I kept thinking to myself watching this whole time going, so does this mean we're saddled with, if this universe continued, that was the death of Superman? We're never going to get a real Doomsday, and we're never going to get the funeral for a friend and the four Superman. And so Cyborg as a hero kind of takes the place that the Cyborg Superman did. I don't know if you guys were following the comics when that happened, but one of the four Supermen was that Cyborg guy. And I feel like Cyborg in this, the way the DC universe is set up now, it would be kind of confusing to have like a half Superman Cyborg and Cyborg Cyborg. You know what I mean? So I don't know if he could really do it.
It'd be too confusing for people that aren't comic book fans, but even just in general, like it'd just be too confusing. It'd be like, wait, is he Cyborg or is he Superman? Or
yeah, like what's going on? Yeah. One of them's Apocalyptic technology. One of them's Kryptonian technology, supposedly.
Yeah. But I don't know. you know, again, just such a bittersweet thing, though. Like, I just want more, and it's very sad. I really don't think there's much chance that we're going to get it. You know, the difference between, like, fans getting a different cut of a movie that was already shot, you know, versus, like, a whole new direction of series of you know, $500 million investments, that's a big difference, you know? What did they spend, like, $70 million to get the Snyder Cut finished versus they would spend 10 times that to make and market, you know, a Justice League 2?
Well, yeah. here's another thing, too, that we forget, and I was just kind of reminded of, is that they've already greenlit a New Gods movie that's being done. So you get Darkseid in this New Gods movie. Now, I mean, that Darkseid maybe won't look like the Darkseid that we get in the Snyder universe or whatever case may be. And you're definitely, well, I mean, I'm just going by, again, I'm not reading spoilers or anything like that. I'm just going by the what their intention is with the New Gods movie. They're not going to continue Darkseid's storyline from this, because obviously this was not a thing to them. So, and it's, they're going by the New Gods comic book. So you're going to get Darkseid in that, but I almost feel like while this was awesome to get the Snyder Cut, and while it was awesome that this was so good, and I definitely want more of this, yet, like you said, Chris, it is bittersweet because it's like, it's almost like a sequel to a movie that you'll never get. And it's like, so literally, like, while this is a satisfying movie in one sense, in another sense, it's like, think about this. No more Henry Cavill as Superman. No more Ben Affleck as Batman. Like, you're not getting a continuation to this.
I want to take karate. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever taken karate. Every 5 minutes of this show, I was like, I want to take karate.
I'm the type of guy, I get my hopes up too high for everything. You know, I get too excited for these things, and, you know, Cobra Kai came out, and I'm like, God damn it, they're doing it to me again, I'm too excited for this. It's probably not gonna be anywhere near as good as I want it to be. And it was so much better. I had expectations that were way too high, and it passed every one that I had.
Man can't stand, he can't fight.
It's making me watch the first movie, the second movie. It's making me watch the movies again.
Yeah, I love the Karate Kid movies so much. The good guys and the bad guys, and Cobra Kai, of course. It's blew my mind. Way better than it has any right to be.
A man can't breathe, he can't fight.
Well, that first Karate Kid movie, yeah, it shaped the whole way that you even thought about, like, the sort of bully-victim dynamic, the mentor-mentee dynamic.
A man can't see, he can't fight.
Karate was this mystical thing back then, and the way this movie handles introducing it, and then that becomes a theme that never leaves. It's throughout the whole franchise. I think that's something that makes this have a lot more emotional punch watching it older.
Yeah, these movies, they're every bit as good to me now as they were as a kid, and even though I know every fucking line to all three of the original movies and half the series by now, it's still, you know, this shit can make me Cobra cry, man.
This franchise, the way it connected its movies, was one of the things that always struck me as a genius move.
I think it was probably worth it that we did not get more Karate Kid movies for all this time, because when it came back the right way. This was worth the wait.
We'll call this the beginning, man. This is how it starts. The beginning of Hollow Knight Dojo, or Dojo 9.
Fear does not exist in this dojo. Pain does not exist in this dojo. We do not train to be merciful here. This is a place of learning. This is a place of knowledge. For years we've gotten from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. And now it's time for us to get back.
It'll open up a way for us to talk about all kinds of martial arts movies. There's also, like, no way to not compare those instantly to Karate Kid.
Man, face you, he is your enemy, and the enemy deserves no mercy. We teach the way of the mic. Welcome to Dojo 9.
That's the whole thing, though. I keep feeling like, wait, there are articles and there's tons of stuff flying everywhere on the internet that says all that is happening, though. You know what I mean? Like, Henry Cavill is definitely in talks to come back there. And I definitely think this whole thing with the dream sequence, if that's the only thing they really shot recently, and you have Joker just drop that line, like an offhanded line of how many timelines do you have to destroy trying to defeat him or whatever, I'm like, oh, okay, so we're gonna have like Crisis on Infinite Earths. They're gonna totally use portals and dimensions. I mean, they're talking about Michael Keaton making an appearance in the bat suit again and being on screen with Affleck, you know. And it's like, all right,
amazing.
I feel like this is the kind of thing where why would they even let any of this stuff start seeing the light of day at all if there wasn't a secret backdoor? We're gonna see what the waters look like after this airs. Plot to, well, we could do it. We have everything kind of like ready to go. Keep Darkseid, just give them the graphics, give them all the files. Darkseid looks like this from now on. You know what I mean? Like, it could backdoor its way into a corrected course correction for the universe. You know what I mean?
Well, that's gonna depend a lot on Flashpoint, because that, I mean, they've already said that Flashpoint is the multiverse, is a reboot of sorts, is where you get like the Michael Keaton Batman, is where you get the Ben Affleck Batman in there as well. And it, you know, course corrects some things or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But we don't know the particular storyline that they're kind of going with. I mean, like, I mean, one of my favorite scenes of this one was Flash reversing time.
Oh, my God.
And basically using the Speed Force and learning how to reverse time, which is a prelude to Flashpoint in a way. So that's the thing. Like, I don't know what they're going with for a script for that.
Yeah.
There is, you know, you could definitely, cause I mean, the thing with the nightmare sequence in the epilogue or whatever case may be, where you saw future Flash or time traveler Flash was there, which you got in the Whedon cut that came and woke up Batman from his sleep at the Batcave or
that
whatever.
That was in BVS.
Yeah. Or BVS. That's right. In BVS. So you got that there, and then you got that in the epilogue here. So,
and you Batman remembering it and telling other people, like, I was sitting right here, I fell asleep, and he appeared and told me that she was the key. And you have, it was almost like he needed, and like, there's a lot of girl power stuff going on in this. There's a lot of progressive shit going on.
Totally.
So you needed like Wonder Woman to confirm to him, like, yeah, well, to him, she is the key. Like, dude, think about this outside of your own head. You know what I mean? And I just think all of it was just so much more carefully done. Like, with someone who actually cared about the characters. That's the other big thing is, like, to me, I have a very cynical view of studios where I'm like, these characters are basically placeholders for them to be hiding subliminal advertising around and to sell action figures to us and shit. They don't really care if they keep doing these movies or not. We do, though. And that's the whole thing. We're trying to make them care. But I don't know. Like, these days, the way the world is reacting to things and how people are changing, I'm holding on to some kind of hope that there's somebody with money at the studio going, look, if the whole world's got a huge boner for this shit again, might be the time to strike. Phase 4 at Marvel looks like total ass. You know what I mean? Like, we might be able to clinch this. You know, we might be able to finally have a leg to stand on. But maybe they just do it all HBO Max. Make it that the HBO Max people get it early. You know, start another kind of culture attached to it, you know, in a way. Because I'm happy I have HBO Max, but I wasn't really into it until we were getting all these movies early.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I feel Ray Fisher's pain watching this movie, though, knowing the performance that he gave and had to sit on for like 3 years, 4 years. Cut out of his. This was Cyborg's. This was the Cyborg movie I always wanted.
I was thinking that the whole time watching it, dude. I was like, Chris must be loving this. This is exactly what Chris was hoping for.
Yeah. They showed me the Frankenstein, a superhero trapped in a horrifying reality, and they showed you that reality, and it's brilliant. And You know, I know we're never going to get another Cyborg appearance or anything again because of studio politics and bullshit. I wish we would. I hope this movie really starts to cry for him because he was supposed to be a big part of the Flash movie, I think, at one point.
Yeah, yeah, it was supposed to be a team-up movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think it was going to be. And it makes sense. Those two obviously have so many ways of complementing each other's skills.
Yeah. Was there any of the Joe Morton stuff in the theatrical cut? I feel like all the Joe Morton scenes were new. Like, I felt like that was all brand new.
Yeah, he was cut almost completely out of the movie.
They were there. I mean, like, the kidnapping scenes were there and stuff like that. But a lot of the other stuff was not there. The tape recorder stuff was not there in the Whedon one, I don't believe.
No.
You know, there was a lot of other stuff. And even you know, the Atlantis stuff was very new, too. Yeah. You got a lot more of the Atlantis stuff in this one.
And this is still continuity-wise before the Aquaman movie.
Aquaman movie, yeah.
Luckily, because I still have not seen Aquaman, I was like, all right, I'm not really missing out. There's nothing I'm not going to not understand. But I feel I don't remember Willem Dafoe in the theatrical cut at all.
Exactly. And they teed it up basically. I mean, at the end when he goes like, "I'm gonna go see my dad."
Yeah,
it tees it up to the Aquaman movie because you know it starts there.
Yeah,
basically. But in any event, like, I mean, I don't know. I just have so much love for this movie now, and I will be honest as the day is long. I was shitting on this thing like hardcore. I was like, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to talk about this.
Why are they doing this?
Yeah, I mean, like, I could talk about it, but my opinions were all negative. I'll be honest there. I loved this movie so much, and I felt like, I mean, I developed a new love for Zack Snyder. In general, the only thing, we're not talking about it right now, but it, like, for me, there's two negative things that I have with this movie.
Yeah, there's still things I don't like too, but
yeah, the one is, it goes back to what Chris was talking about with the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The ratio really did bother me for like about 45 minutes.
The aspect ratio. I'm the going aspect like, ratio. Chicks to dudes, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah.
No. The aspect ratio. For like about 45 minutes, I'm sitting there going like, I feel like I'm watching this on an old school tube TV. And then I'm like, or like the first time you got a flat screen TV and like all the shows and all the cable was still not set up for like, you know, flat screen. And you had to like make it zoom or full picture or whatever like that. I kept on wanting to do that. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. But I'm just like, it got to me for like 45 minutes. I'm sitting there going like, oh, come on. This is dumb. You know?
It kind of is. I mean, I don't buy, for IMAX. I'm like, it's still a square, man. What are you doing? Like, this is not, we don't watch movies like this anymore.
And we don't see in a squarish image. Like, our field of vision is rectangular.
Yeah.
You know, it's very wide. That's why the screen kept getting wider, to make it more immersive, you know?
And I mean, shit, now IMAX. It curves around you now. You know what I mean? That's where we're at these days. Not fucking
and I
square.
I love IMAX for the high resolution and the gigantic screens and all that shit, but I just don't get why people don't shoot anamorphically. You know, okay, I get it. It's a square sensor. Most sensors are square, but there's this thing called anamorphic that squeezes more width into a square sensor, and then you de-squeeze it, you know, in post.
He didn't do this with Watchmen.
Digitally. What's that?
He didn't do this with Watchmen.
I don't get it. I just don't. I mean, that still bothers me that, like, yeah, no one has a TV this shape anymore, so I'm going to make everyone get burn-in on their plasmas and LCDs, who's a big fan of this. They're going to have the ugliest burn-in bars. There's no burn-in worse than I've been watching full screen on my widescreen
burnt in. If you've ever seen that, it's horrifying.
Yeah, because you're just like, what the hell are you doing? You fucking criminal.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're a 70-year-old you who got fucking criminal. TV. You didn't know what channel to use. Didn't know to switch to the HD channel. You know?
I fucking hate you. People like you make me wish I wasn't alive anymore.
So there will be, I mean, you can stream it in 4K, so I know someone out there is going to take this thing, they're going to rip it in 4K, and they're going to make a 1080p widescreen version of it. I don't need it to be scope. I'll settle for 185, but that's coming out there. That's going to be for sale on the market, and I'm going to fucking buy that disc.
Well, I almost feel like that's the Blu-ray. That's the Blu-ray release of the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you can see it in widescreen.
Well, that's my, like, you know, like, as being like a total noob with this, Chris, let me ask you this. Like, does that cost any more? Like, if they were to, I mean, like, essentially, like, I understand him wanting to do it in IMAX because he still has the hope that it will be released in theaters and in IMAX.
We'll get to
and
go to
sure,
theaters again one day.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, one day that, like, I mean, God, we all know that we're watching, like, every now and then, like, they'll release Halloween movies in 35mm and, you know, in the theaters for, like, a week only, and we'll go see it then or whatever. So does he have a hope and feeling that it's going to be released in IMAX? But my thought, like, or my question is, like, how expensive would it have been to make two different versions of this movie, film-wise?
Well, I mean, seeing as how it cost him $70 million to finish this version, I think it was the number, somewhere around
yeah,
there.
That was yeah. last I heard, yeah.
So, I mean, I got to imagine that that's what it cost to bring Whedon on board, plus probably like $10 million upfront for Whedon or some crazy big number for Whedon upfront. Or they had to give Whedon a bunch of back end or something, you know. I don't know how any of that works. I don't know if Whedon gets paid for this version at all. I don't know any, you know. I know he said he didn't use a single frame of film shot by Whedon.
It only says directed by Zack Snyder at the beginning.
But that Whedon cut said that too.
It said directed by Zack Snyder or directed by Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon?
I think it said directed by Zack Snyder.
But did it also say, like, a screenplay or something like that by Whedon?
It might have said, like, additional dialogue or something by Whedon, you know, by Whedon.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I saw it one time, too.
It was with you in theaters.
And I don't want to watch it again to compare it to this one, you know what I mean? I'm like...
Exactly.
I'm like,
exactly.
I know a lot of this stuff with the lab wasn't in the first... Like, I don't remember half... And that's the other thing. This is a four-hour movie. The theatrical was, what, just under two? So it's like a whole second movie put back into the first movie. If anything, you could have cut this in half and did a part one, part two, I guess, if you really needed to break it down and keep it this length. But I don't know, man. It just felt like fresh. Whatever we saw before and the stuff that we lost was super goofy. You know, like the four of them on the bat plane and Batman is obviously like sore and like, yeah, you're the only one who doesn't have superpowers. And you're old. They were really playing that shit up a lot more in the old one. And in this one, he's like, I've got faith. My faith is keeping us going, guys. You know, like tones were completely different.
And there was another thing that, like, you know, like that got me, like, well, not got me, but like, you know, like, I'm sitting there, and when I forget their names. Was it like a demigods or whatever that? Mm-hmm. When they came to Earth and stuff like that. Remember in the Weed and Justice League, Batman found out about sonar like basically like affected them.
He's using the sound guns. Yeah.
Exactly, and that was like nowhere to be found in this one.
Oh, that whole opening sequence where he's chasing the one parademon over the roof.
Parademons.
Yeah.
So like that, and that's like, you know, those kind of things. When I'm watching this and I'm thinking about this, I mean, obviously, like, you know, I could easily detach myself from the, you know, Age of Whedon League or whatever like that. But I could easily detach myself from that because that was garbage. But like some of those things, I'm like, what was this decision? Like, why like, I mean, like, how did this come up? Or like, what, like, I'm looking at this movie going like, what is the flaw in what Zack Snyder and his co-writers wrote and presented? Like, where is the flaw? Like, I don't understand, like, where you said, like, oh, this doesn't make sense, so I'm going to do this.
Well, this
here's
is
the deal. Here's,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm
go
sorry.
No, no, go for it, man.
What I think happens is, right, you imagine you're a studio executive, and, you know, Batman v Superman comes out, and it underperforms a little bit, and the critics, you know, shit all over it and stuff like that. And, you know, it is a kind of a flawed film. It's not, you know, it's not what you were hoping it would be, right? Most people are kind of let down. You know, and you're looking for things to blame. And I'm sure a lot of the people were, myself included, I was one of the people saying, yeah, they did spend a little too much time setting up some other things, you know, but I guess that'll pay off later. You know, they plug a fucking hard drive full of Flash and Cyborg and Aquaman and stuff. And they all have logos already, you know.
Yeah, like, Lex Luthor gave them all convenient. That shit.
So yeah, yeah. Then
just goes to show
they,
you the 1% always behind the rise of the enemies, right?
So I think, by the time Snyder gave them their first cut, they were basically like, we're done with this guy. Let's see if we can get him off. Like, let's drive him nuts. Make him so nuts he quits, you know. and
it's
I
a whole movie
it was.
In
it
itself.
Was like,
losing Snyder.
I think it was like, yeah, it was like, it's a 4-hour movie. Like, cut it down. Okay, now it's a 3-hour movie. Like, cut it down. Okay, now it's a 2.5-hour movie. Like, all right, cut another hour. Like, jeez. Like, you know, at a certain point, it's just, I don't know. It's not the same, you know. What they released is just a mess of notes. The Whedon version is awful. May it never be seen by anyone again.
Yeah, for sure.
But do you no feel one ever like, suffered through it.
Here's my question to you guys both. Do you feel like you want to revisit BVS after watching this?
I do,
Steve
for sure.
Felt like that, my roommate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. What was that, Chris?
I'm sorry, my roommate Steve, who watched it with me, immediately threw BVS on and said he was going to watch Man of Steel after that.
Yeah.
I, like, had some work to do, so I couldn't join him for BVS because, you know, 5 hours of my day with smoke breaks for him to watch Snyder Cut.
yeah.
I was like, all right, I got some podcasting to do. Me and Dave had to do a little dreamed commentary.
Yeah, man.
but, you know, it's interesting. You know, I said about that movie last night. That's a body swap comedy that dares, body swap movie that dares to try and be art and says, fuck you, I don't care what you think about it. And this is kind of, that's kind of like Justice League. It's like a superhero movie that dares to try and be The Godfather 2.
Yeah.
And whether
I'll
it succeeds
for
or
sure.
not, whether it succeeds or not, fucking hats off, you know, slow clap to Zack Snyder for even trying to give us something original.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just so tired of the same stuff.
But now, like I want to revisit BVS because the nightmare sequences now, like, make more sense to me.
But that's
like,
going to be the only good thing in that movie. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, the rest of that movie's still shit. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, the Martha stuff and everything is, like, fucking, come on.
Because like, now that like, one is the one that's the mess. You know, this one is a much more coherent, like, clear, they had a plan going in. And it was a pretty damn good, I'm working with what I got, where you guys have me to, if you want me to go from, we only did one person solo movie, we did an awkward team up movie to introduce a couple more characters. And now you want me to already have us at Avengers level. And you also have to keep in mind too, that this is all the DC universe that was started after the success and popularity of the Nolan Batman trilogy. So DC always had that over Marvel, that they were the sort of darker, grittier, for grown-ups comic books, right? So their movies are going to be a little bit more serious. And I think what we're all reacting to that's not present in this was Whedon trying to bring that Marvel hokiness. They don't have conversations in the Marvel movies. It's like two or three people making quips at each other for a couple lines, and then like big flashes and explosions, maybe a knowledge download from a computer or an alien. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get like these guys having the sort of almost Watchmen-esque level of dark broodiness going on. This one felt a little closer to Watchmen for me, for sure, watching this last night.
Now, I like I said, now, I mean, like, I'll be honest, and now I'm actually, because this was so good, I actually want to go watch Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen Watchmen?
I have seen parts of it, and I was not really like into it. But this really has like put another spin on Zack Snyder for me. Like, I really feel like, I mean, I liked Zack Snyder from I like this dude. This dude is pretty he's passionate about movies. Him and his wife do these movies and that. Like I said, I love Sucker Punch. You know, loved his Dawn of the Dead remake. So from that aspect, and I'm really excited to see Army of the Dead as well. Oh, yeah. So like now from this aspect, like I wanna go back and revisit some things. Like maybe I'll even pop in 300. You know, and I never saw that.
You're going to feel a lot of similarity between the way they and the Amazonians fight.
Yeah, and that was another thing, too, that I loved is the extended war scene when the gods are all fighting.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Darkseid and Ares, and it's like just. They totally kicked Darkseid's ass.
I was gonna say, right? Darkseid's kind of a bitch. That's we do not have the same fear, respect. At least I don't, as a moviegoer, of Darkseid that we did of Thanos. Thanos was like scary from minute one, and Darkseid. Now that we've finally seen him, when we get introduced, he got his ass kicked. Like, I was like, whoa, dude, what? You're supposed to be that bad motherfucker, man. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like I said, nothing's perfect. You know, in neither version, Steppenwolf works for me. Like, I just, like, he worked for 1 second in this version when they took all that metal bullshit off of him. Like, there's just something about, like, when I just see, like, a gajillion pieces doing things that I know that could never happen in real life. Like, and that's why, honestly, I was a little slow to adopt the Iron Man franchise in Marvel, because every time the suit would do its thing, I'd just be like, this is just like so unreal that I'm just kind of taken out of it now, you know? It was just like a million, you know, CG bells and whistles, you know, going all over everything.
I honestly didn't know the whole Iron Man suit was CGI until like later on when I saw like like the motion thing. Like I understood like when he was flying, that's CGI, whatever the case may be. But like I literally legit thought that he was in this suit like the whole time he was acting.
Have you ever seen? You've never seen any like the behind the scenes footage where they show him like just in the upper half? Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I did afterwards. But when I'm watching the movie, I'm sitting there going like, "This is fucking unreal. This guy's in a fucking metal suit and he's walking around doing dialogue."
I feel like I'm pretty forgiving with a lot of that stuff. Usually, you know, it has to really suck for me to kind of be like, I'm taken out of it. Like, I feel like the fact that they were able to accomplish that sometimes, I'm like, oh, wow. That said, like, I mean, it wasn't design-wise. I mean, I don't know if that's what he looks like in the comics. I imagine it must be. But it's sort of like we've got this devil horn thing kind of going on. Looks like a hammerhead shark is what my girlfriend said when she woke up while I was watching this. She's like, and she thought it looked like one of the characters from Pirates of the Caribbean, one of the pirate, hammerhead shark pirate, actually. And it's just like, it's interesting because we were supposed to sympathize with him, right? Like, he's on a quest to redeem himself to the Dark Lord, you know, whereas Batman's on a request to redeem himself for allowing Superman to get killed. You know, like, there's all these, like, weird parallels that we're supposed to feel, and that's the one thing. There's a lot more emotion in this one, and that's what Whedon took away. Whedon brought this hokey, stupid shit, and it didn't work because that's what DC is based in. DC is more realistic. We're supposed to feel awkward about things, whereas Marvel is selling toys, selling comic books, you know, selling tickets to Disney World because they're going to have a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster in 2 years. There's a Tron roller coaster next year. So it's like just very different properties that needed to be handled differently. And after BVS, I would have never expected this. You know what I mean? I'm straight up saying it now. This is very surprising for the same guy who gave us BVS. But
yeah,
it's a course correction and a half, man. It's a, all right, cool. Everyone has a C every once in a while. You get it back up to an A, your fucking average is saved for the semester. You know?
That's a good way of putting it. That's a really good way of putting it. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you know, while I'll disagree that, like, you know, with the Marvels, the movies, like, you know, I do find the heart in a lot of them, and but I do understand, like, yeah, it's Disney, you know, it's
meant a different for all kind of stuff. Heart, yeah,
yeah, but like, you know, it's like we never the only impressions that I have of DC films are these movies that we've recently got. But when you thought to me, when I think about DC films, like or you know, films that happen to have characters in the DC comics, I always go back to, you know, the Superman movies with Christopher Reeves.
Yeah,
like those movies, and then you go to the Tim Burton Batmans,
mm-hmm.
and then you go like to like the Nolan trilogy or whatever like that, but like for so long those were DC, they never interconnected or anything like that, so this was like really like their first crack at trying to interconnect things or whatever like that. But and you know,
and
I feel
Watchmen,
like, you
know, was a DC property also. A lot of people overlook that Watchmen was DC, so it had to be in the company that is specializing in the dark, brooding, more grown up and adult theme. Not meaning porn, but meaning like shit that adults are dealing with. Not like, hey, Iron Man, quickly, master time travel overnight real quick because we need to do this. You know what I mean? Whereas like Batman's like, there's an alien 3 galaxies away that sent a satellite 20 years ago and he knows how to fix time travel. All right, cool. You did some research. Let's follow that.
Listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollownine.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollownine.com or at hollownine podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow. Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey, hey,
wow,
hey,
we so are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but she's still
God.
Got it.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's
absolutely.
My wife right
still
there.
Got
my wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. Yeah, that's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around. Okay.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
All right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific
Really?
And sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it...
Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's great that you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Heads. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those films. Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
I want to go to that
$2, man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic.
But of course, we need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash ban from company headquarters. Code Gold, Command Eyes Only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and Rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie, it's creepy, but then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff, there's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a bow, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.